bright, cool notes sing out through my playroom. Our playroom. I put the wand in my back pocket, pull off my t-shirt, and return to my wife, who is biting her lip. Taking her chin between my fingers, I startle her, then tug so that she releases her bottom lip. Her smile is shy and sweet, and I know she was unaware of what she was doing. Oh, Anna, what I have in store for you. Maybe I'll let you come. Maybe I won't. I run the backs of my fingers over the soft skin of her throat to her sternum. Then, using my thumb, I tug her bra cup down, freeing her breast. She has such beautiful breasts. While I kiss her throat, I release her other breast from its bra cup and toy with her nipple. My lips and my fingers tug and tease each of them until they're both erect and begging for more. Anna squirms against her restraints.
Ah!
She groans. But I don't stop. My mouth and fingers continue their slow, sensual torment. I know how easy it is to arouse her to orgasm this way. She's breathing hard.
Christian,
she begs.
I know.
My voice is husky with want.
This is what you make me feel.
She gasps, and I continue. Her hips press forward and her legs start to tremble.
Please,
she pleads.
Oh, baby, feel it.
My cock is pressing against soft denim, wanting release. All in good time, Gray. I stop and stand up, looking down at her face. Her mouth is hanging open as she drags air into her lungs, and she writhes against the leather cuffs. I run my hands down the side of her body, leaving one to linger at her hip while I skirt the fingers of my other hand down her belly. Again, she pushes her hips forward, offering herself to me.
Let's see how you're doing,
I murmur. I brush my fingers over her sex, and she soaks my fingers. My jeans get tighter. I skate my thumb over the excited little nub at the junction of her thighs, and she cries out, pushing herself into my hands.
Oh, Anna, so keen, so wet for me, and you're so far from coming.
If, and it's a big if, I let you come at all. Slowly I insert my middle, then index finger inside her. She groans and continues to strain against my hand, searching for release.
Oh, Anastasia, you're so ready.
I circle my fingers inside her, stroking her, tantalizing her, while my thumb continues to rouse her clitoris. Her legs start to tremble again as she strains toward me. It's the only part of her body I'm touching. Her head is thrown back as she absorbs the pleasure. She's close. With my other hand, I pull out the wand from my back pocket and switch it on.
What?
She murmurs at the sound.
Hush.
My lips swoop down on hers, and she kisses me greedily. I pull back while my fingers still work away inside her.
This is a wand, baby. It vibrates.
I hold it against her sternum and let it float over her so it oscillates against her skin. My thumb and fingers still tease her sex, and I drag the vibrating wand down between her breasts, then across each nipple in turn.
Ah!
She moans out loud, and her legs stiffen as she throws her head back once more and groans loudly. I stop moving my fingers and lift the wand from her skin.
No, Christian!
She cries, and pushes her hips fruitlessly toward me.
So close, and yet so far. Still, baby,
I whisper and kiss her.
Frustrating, isn't it?
She gasps.
Christian, please.
Hush. I kiss her and slowly start to move my fingers inside her, grazing the wand across her skin between the two peaks of her breasts. I move so I'm leaning into her, my cock hard and ready against her. She starts to climb again, and I bring her close, so close, then stop once more.
No!
She whimpers, and I plant kisses on her shoulder as I withdraw my fingers from inside her and stop teasing her clitoris with my thumb.
Instead, I increased the speed of the wand and let it travel down her stomach, over her belly, and over the tiny swollen bud between her thighs.
Ah!
She cries out and pulls on her shackles, and I stop once more, removing the wand from her skin.
Christian!
She calls. Frustrating, yes? I whisper against her throat. Just like you. Promising one thing and then...
Christian, please.
I let the wand touch her again. And stop. And start. And stop. She's panting hard. Each time I stop, it feels more intense when I start again, right?
Please.
She begs, and I switch the wand off and place it on the small shelf beside the cross and kiss her. Her lips are eager, no, desperate, for my touch. I run my nose down hers and whisper, "You are the most frustrating woman I have ever met." She shakes her head.
"Christian, I never promised to obey you. Please, please."
I grab her behind and push my still-clothed cock against her, rubbing myself over her. She groans, and I peel off the blindfold and grasp her chin. Wild blue eyes meet mine.
"You drive me crazy."
My voice is hoarse as I flex my hips against her, once, twice, thrice. And she tips her head back, ready to come, and I stop. She closes her eyes and takes a deep breath.
"Please,"
she whispers and looks up at me. "Oh, baby, you can take more. I know you can." My fingers skim her breast as they travel down her body, and she stiffens beneath my touch and turns her face away from me.
"Red,"
she whimpers.
"Red, red."
As tears spill down her face, I freeze. Fuck. No, no. No! I breathe. "Jesus Christ, no!" I unclip her hands, and holding her, I bend down and unclip her ankles. She puts her head in her hands and starts to weep.
"No, no, no, Anna, please, no.
I've gone too far." I pick her up and sit down on the bed, cradling her in my lap while she sobs. Reaching for the satin sheet behind me, I pull it off the bed and wrap it around her, and I hug her close, rocking her gently backward and forward.
"I'm sorry, I'm sorry,"
I whisper, feeling like an asshole, and shower her hair with kisses.
"Anna, forgive me, please."
She says nothing. She continues to weep, each sob a twist of the knife in my dark, dark soul.
What was I thinking? "Anna, I'm sorry. I'm a fucking asshole."
She buries her face in my neck, and her tears scorch my skin.
"Please switch the music off."
"Yes, of course." I move with her on my lap, easing the remote out of my back pocket, and switch off the music. All I hear is her quiet keening, interspersed with her shuddering breaths. It's hell.
"Better?"
I ask. She nods, and gently I wipe away her tears with my thumb. Not a fan of Box Goldberg variations. I make a desperate attempt at humor.
"Not that piece."
She looks up at me, her eyes dulled by her inner pain, and shame washes over me in a torrent.
"I'm sorry," I whisper.
"Why did you do that?"
She stutters between shudders. I shake my head and close my eyes. "I got lost in the moment." Her brows knit together. I sigh. I have to explain. "Anna, orgasm denial is a standard tool and you never... What's the use?" I stop and she shifts. Her weight slams against my semi-erect dick and I wince.
"Sorry,"
she mumbles as her pale cheeks pink. Even now, she's apologizing to me. This woman puts me to shame. Disgusted with myself, I lie back and take her with me so that we're both lying on the bed, my arms around her. She squirms and starts to readjust her bra. "Need a hand?" I ask. She shakes her head vehemently, and I know she doesn't want me to touch her. Fuck. Anna, I'm sorry. I can't bear it. I move so that we're facing each other. I raise my hand and wait a beat to see if she withdraws, but she doesn't, and I stroke the backs of my fingers gently down her tear-stained face. Tears well in her eyes again. Please don't cry, I mutter as we gaze at each other. She looks so damned hurt. It's heartrending. I never what? She asks, and it takes me a split second to realize what she's referring to, my unfinished sentence. Do as you're told. You changed your mind. You didn't tell me where you were. Anna, I was in New York, powerless and livid. If I'd been in Seattle, I'd have brought you home.
So you are punishing me?
Yes, no, yes. I close my eyes, unable to face her.
You have to stop doing this,
she says. I frown.
For a start, you only end up feeling shittier about yourself.
I snort. That's true. I don't like to see you like this.
And I don't like feeling like this. You said on The Fair Lady that you hadn't married a submissive.
I know.
Well, stop treating me like one. I'm sorry I didn't call you. I won't be so selfish again. I know you worry about me.
We stare at each other while I weigh her words. Okay, good. I lean over to kiss her, but I stop before my lips touch hers, asking for permission and begging for forgiveness. She raises her lips to mine, and I kiss her with tenderness. Your lips are always so soft when you've been crying.
I never promised to obey you, Christian.
I know.
Deal with it, please, for both our sakes, and I will try to be more considerate of your controlling tendencies.
I have no answer to that, except I'll try. She sighs.
Please do. Besides, if I had been here.
Her eyes grow wide. I know, I whisper, feeling like all the blood is draining from my face. I lie back and fling my arm across my eyes, imagining for the thousandth time what could have happened. He could have killed her. She curls around me and lays her head on my chest while I hold her. My fingers twirl her braid, then untie it and slowly untangle her hair. It's soothing, feeling her soft hair spill through my fingers. Anna, I'm so sorry. We lie for several moments until Anna interrupts my thoughts.
What did you mean earlier when you said or?
Or? I ask.
Something about Jack.
I peer at her. You don't give up, do you? She rests her chin on my sternum.
Give up? Never. Tell me. I don't like being kept in the dark. You seem to have some overblown idea that I need protecting. You don't even know how to shoot. I do.
She's on a roll.
Do you think I can't handle whatever it is you won't tell me, Christian? I've had your stalker ex-sub pull a gun on me, your pedophile ex-lover harass me.
Anna.
And don't look at me like that. Your mother feels the same way about her.
What? You talk to my mother about Elena? I don't believe it.
Yes, Grace and I talked about her.
I gape at her, and Anna continues.
She's very upset about it. Blames herself. I can't believe you spoke to my mother. Shit.
I put my arm over my face again, as yet more shame washes through me.
I didn't go into any specifics.
I should hope not. Grace doesn't need all the gory details. Christ, Anna. My dad, too?
No,
she says, shocked, I think.
Anyway, you're trying to distract me again. Jack, what about him?
I lift my arm to check on her, and she's sporting her expectant talk to me now I'm taking none of your bullshit look. Sighing, I put my arm back over my eyes, and I let the words spill out in a rush. Hyde is implicated in Charlie Tango sabotage. The investigators found a partial print, just partial, so they couldn't make a match.
but then you recognized Hyde in the server room. He has convictions as a miner in Detroit, and the prints matched his. This morning, a cargo van was found in the garage here. Hyde was the driver. Yesterday, he delivered some shit to that new guy who's moved in, the guy we met in the elevator.
I don't remember his name,
Anna mutters. Me neither, but that's how Hyde managed to get into the building legitimately. He was working for a delivery company.
And what's so important about the van?
Damn.
Christian, tell me.
Anna insists. The cops found things in the van. I stop. I don't want to give her nightmares. I tighten my hold around her.
What things?
She presses. I stay silent, but then I know she'll keep pushing me. A mattress, enough horse tranquilizer to take down a dozen horses, and a note. I try to hide my horror, and I don't tell her about the syringes.
Note.
Addressed to me.
What did it say?
I shake my head. It was gibberish. Hyde came here last night with the intention of kidnapping you. She shudders.
Shit.
Quite.
I don't understand why, she says. It doesn't make sense to me.
I know. The police are digging further, and so is Welch. But we think Detroit is the connection.
Detroit?
Anna sounds confused. Yeah, there's something there.
I still don't understand.
I raise my arm and gaze at her, realizing that she doesn't know. Anna, I was born in Detroit.
I thought you were born here in Seattle.
No. Reaching behind me, I grab one of the pillows and place it under my head. With my other hand, I continue to run my fingers through her hair. No. Elliot and I were both adopted in Detroit. We moved here shortly after my adoption. Grace wanted to be on the West Coast, away from the urban sprawl. She got a job at Northwest Hospital. I have very little memory of that time. Mia was adopted here.
So Jack is from Detroit?
Yes.
How do you know?
I ran a background check when you went to work for him. She gives me a sideways look.
Do you have a manila file on him, too?
She smirks. I hide my smile. I think it's pale blue.
What does it say in his file?
I stroke her cheek. You really want to know?
Is it that bad?
I shrug. I've known worse. My sad and sorry start in life springs to mind. Anna cuddles into me, pulling the red satin sheet over the two of us before laying her cheek on my chest. She looks thoughtful. What? I ask. Something's on her mind.
Nothing.
She murmurs. No, no. This works both ways, Anna. What is it? She glances at me, her eyebrows drawn together. She rests her cheek on my chest once more.
Sometimes I picture you as a child before you came to live with the Grays.
I tense beneath her. I do not want to talk about this. I wasn't talking about me. I don't want your pity, Anastasia. That part of my life is done. Gone.
It's not pity. It's sympathy and sorrow. Sorrow that anyone could do that to a child.
She stops and swallows, then continues, her voice soft and low.
That part of your life is not done, Christian. How can you say that? You live every day with your past. You told me yourself. 50 Shades, remember?
I sigh and run my hand through my hair. Drop it, Anna.
I know it's why you feel the need to control me, keep me safe.
And yet you choose to defy me. I'm bewildered. This is what I find most confusing about her. She knows that I have issues, yet she still challenges me.
Dr. Flynn said I should give you the benefit of the doubt. I think I do. I'm not sure. Perhaps it's my way of bringing you into the here and now, away from your past.
She mutters.
I don't know. I just can't seem to get a handle on how far you'll overreact.
Fucking Flynn. I mumble.
He said I should continue to behave the way I've always behaved with you.
Did he now?
I observe wryly. I have him to blame. She takes a deep breath.
Christian, I know you loved your mom and you couldn't save her. It wasn't your job to do that, but I'm not her.
Fuck, what? Stop, now. I lay paralyzed beneath her. Don't, I whisper. I don't want to discuss the fucking crack whore. I'm floating above a deep well of harrowing, painful feelings that I don't want to acknowledge, and I certainly don't want to feel.
No, listen, please.
Anna lifts her head, her bright blue eyes penetrating my shield, and I realize I'm holding my breath.
I'm not her,
Anna says.
I'm much stronger than she was. I have you, and you're so much stronger now, and I know you love me. I love you too.
Do you still love me? I whisper.
Of course I do. Christian, I will always love you, no matter what you do to me.
Anna, you're crazy. I close my eyes and place my arm over my eyes again, holding her closer to me.
Don't hide from me, she says,
and she pries my arm off my face.
You've spent your life hiding. Please don't. Not from me.
Me? I stare at her, bewildered. Hiding?
Yes.
I roll onto my side, smooth her hair off her face, and tuck it behind her ear. You asked me earlier today if I hated you. I didn't understand why, and now...
You still think I hate you?
She asks. No. I shake my head. Not now, but I need to know. Why did you say word, Anna? She swallows, and I watch the play of emotions that cross her face.
Because you were so angry and distant and cold. I didn't know how far you'd go.
I realize that she asked me and asked me and asked me to let her come, and I didn't. I betrayed her trust. Thank heaven for safe words.
Were you going to let me come?
Her gaze is unwavering, in spite of her blush. Yes, no, I don't know. No, I answer. But the truth is, I don't know.
That's harsh.
I caress her cheek with my knuckle, the one with the burn. But effective, I whisper. And you stopped me. We will always have safe words if I go too far, even when I said we didn't need them. I'm glad you did, I mutter.
Really?
She doesn't believe me. I try to smile at her. Yes, I don't want to hurt you. I got carried away. I kiss her. Lost in the moment. I kiss her again. Happens a lot with you. Her face brightens with a grin. It's catching. I don't know why you're grinning, Mrs. Gray.
Me neither.
I embrace her, holding her close, and place my head on her chest. She strokes my naked back with one hand and runs her fingers through my hair with the other, and I crave her touch. It means I can trust you to stop me. I never want to hurt you, I confess. I need... Tell her, Gray.
You need what?
I need control, Anna. Like I need you. It's the only way I can function. I can't let go of it. I can't. I've tried. And yet, with you... I shake my head in exasperation.
I need you too,
she says, hugging me tighter.
I'll try, Christian. I'll try to be more considerate.
I want you to need me.
I do,
she says emphatically. I want to look after you.
You do, all the time. I missed you so much while you were away.
You did?
Yes, of course. I hate you going away.
I smile. You could have come with me.
Christian, please, let's not rehash that argument. I want to work.
I sigh as she runs her fingers through my hair, chasing away my tension, helping me relax. I love you, Anna.
I love you too, Christian. I will always love you.
We lie entwined in red satin, almost naked, me wearing jeans, Anna in her bra. What a pair we are. Her breathing evens out. She's sleeping. I close my eyes.
Mommy's sitting on the couch. She's quiet. She looks at the wall and blinks sometimes. I stand in front of her with my cars, but she doesn't see me. I wave and she sees me, but she waves me away. No, Maggot, not now. He comes here. He hurts Mommy.
Get off, you stupid bitch.
He hurts me. I hate him. He makes me so mad. I run to my kitchen and hide under the table.
Get up, you stupid bitch!
He shouts. He is loud. Mommy screams. No. I put my hands over my ears. Mommy. He comes into the kitchen with his boots and smell.
Where are you, little shit? There you are. Stay here, you little prick. I'm going to fuck your bitch of a mother. I don't want to see your fuck ugly face for the rest of the evening. Understand?
When I don't reply, he slaps my face. Hard. My cheek stings.
Or you get the burn, you little prick.
No. No, I don't like that. I don't like the burn. It hurts. He smokes a cigarette and waves it in front of me.
Do you want the burn, you little shit? Do you?
He laughs. He has some teeth gone. He laughs and laughs.
I'm going to cook something for that bitch. Gonna need a spoon. Then it's going into this.
He holds an injection up for me to see.
She loves this. She loves this more than she loves you or me, you little shit.
He turns away. He changes. He's Jack Hyde and Anna lies on the floor beside him, and he's plunging the syringe into her thigh.
No!
I bellow to the world.
Christian, please wake up!
I open my eyes. She's here, shaking me.
Christian, you're having a nightmare. You're home. You're safe.
I look around. We're on the bed in the playroom.
Anna.
She's here. She's safe. I grab her face and pull her lips to mine, seeking the comfort and solace of her mouth. She is everything wholesome in my life, my love, my light. Anna. Desire rockets through my body like lightning. I'm aroused. I roll us over, pressing her into the mattress. I want her. I need her. Holding her chin, I place my hand on her head to keep her still while I part her legs with my knee, resting my bursting dick still clad in denim against her sex. Anna, I breathe and gaze down into her startled blue eyes. Her pupils grow bigger and darker. She feels it too. She wants it, too. My lips capture her mouth again, tasting her, taking her, and I rock my dick against her. I kiss her face, her eyelids, her cheeks, along her jawline. I want her. Now.
I'm here,
she whispers, and wraps her arms around my shoulders and grinds against me.
Oh, Anna, I need you.
I'm breathless, yearning for her.
Me too,
she rasps, clutching at my back. I rip open my button fly, freeing my dick, and I shift, ready to take her. Yes, no, Anna. I gaze into her dark, dark eyes and see a reflection of my need and want.
Yes, please,
she says. I bury myself in her in one thrust.
Ah!
She cries, and I groan, cherishing the feel of her. Anna. I honor her mouth once more, my tongue insistent as I drive into her, chasing away my fear and my nightmare, losing myself in her love and lust. She is frantic too, needy, greedy, joining me thrust for thrust, on and on.
Anna!
I growl and let go, coming inside her over and over, losing all sense of self and falling under her powerful spell. She makes me whole. She heals me. She is my light. She holds me hard and tight while I drag air into my lungs. I ease out of her and tighten my arms around her while the earth rights itself on its axis. Wow. That was quick. I shake my head and lean up on my elbows, staring down into her beautiful face. Oh, Anna, sweet Jesus. I kiss her.
You okay?
She places her palm on my cheek. I nod as I finally settle back on Earth.
You?
I ask.
She
wriggles beneath me, pressing herself against my sated cock. I give her a wicked, carnal smile. I know what she's trying to tell me. This is a language I understand. Mrs. Gray, you have needs. I whisper. I drop a quick kiss on her lips, and before she can say anything, I get up. Kneeling at the end of the bed, I grab Anna's legs and tug her toward me so that her ass hangs on the edge of the bed. Sit up, I tell her, and she does as she's told. Her hair tumbles down to her breasts, and with my eyes on hers, I gently push her legs apart. She leans back on her hands, her breasts rising and falling as her breathing quickens. Her lips are parted. I don't think she can quite believe what I'm going to do. You are so fucking beautiful, Anna. I murmur and press soft kisses up her inner thigh. I glance at her through my lashes like she does to me. Watch. I breathe as my tongue laps at her clitoris.
Ah!
She cries out. She tastes of Anna and sex and me, and I don't let up. After what I did to her earlier, she must be wound up tighter than an old-fashioned watch. I keep her legs apart, holding her in place while my mouth works its magic, lavishing her with unyielding attention. Her body starts to tremble.
No.
She says, and it's my cue to slowly slide a finger inside her. She groans and collapses onto the bed while I stoke the fire inside her, taunting her sweet spot over and over. My tongue continuing to bathe her clitoris. She's so close. Her legs stiffen. Anna, let it go. She cries out my name, her back arching off the bed as she comes and comes and comes. I ease my finger out of her and strip out of my jeans. Leaning up, I nuzzle her belly as she runs her fingers through my hair. I'm not finished with you yet, I whisper. And kneeling back, I tug her off the bed, onto my lap and my waiting erection. She gasps as I fill her. Oh, baby, I breathe as I wrap my arms around her while cradling her head and raining soft kisses on her face. I flex my hips, and she clutches my upper arms with a wild-eyed look at me. I grab her ass and lift her, flexing my butt once more and driving into her. She groans, and we kiss while I slowly ease in and out of her. She tightens her thighs around me as we ride each other. Slowly, sweetly. She raises her face to the ceiling, her mouth open wide in a silent cry of joy. Anna, I murmur against her throat as I kiss her. We move, together, in bliss. I love you, Anna. She folds her hands around my neck.
I love you too, Christian.
She opens her eyes and we watch each other. Building, climbing, higher. She's there. Come for me, baby, I whisper. And she screws her eyes shut and she hollers out as she submits to her release. Ah. I lean my forehead against hers and whisper her name as her body pulls mine into a sweet, slow orgasm. When I've come down from my high, I lift her onto the bed and we lie in each other's arms. Better now? I ask as I nuzzle her neck.
Hmm.
Shall we go to bed or do you want to sleep here? I grin. Mrs. Gray, talk to me. Is that the best you can do? Come, let me put you to bed. I don't like sleeping here. She moves.
Wait.
She murmurs. What now?
Are you okay?
She asks. I can't help my smug smile. I am now.
Oh, Christian.
She admonishes me and reaches up to stroke my face.
I was talking about your nightmare.
Nightmare? Shit. Fleeting visions of the horror I witnessed in my sleep flicker through my mind. I hold her close and hide from them by burying my face in her neck. Don't, I mutter. Anna, don't remind me. She gasps.
I'm sorry.
She holds me, running her hands through my hair and down my back.
It's okay, it's okay.
She whispers. Let's go to bed, I say. Getting up, I pick my jeans up off the floor and slip them on. She follows me, keeping the sheet wrapped around herself to preserve her modesty. Leave those, I say, as she bends to gather her clothes. I scoop her into my arms, cradling her against my chest. I don't want you to trip over this sheet and break your neck. I carry her downstairs to the bedroom and set her down. She slips on her nightdress while I take off my jeans and drag on my pajama bottoms, and together we climb into bed. Let's sleep, I mutter. She gives me a sleepy smile and nestles into my arms. I lie staring at the ceiling, trying to rid my mind of my morbid thoughts. We have Hyde now. I should be asleep like Anna is beside me. It never takes her long. I envy her that. I close my eyes, grateful that she's still here in one piece in our bed. Saturday, August 27th, 2011. Anna's on her knees, bowed, naked, in front of me. Her forehead pressed to the playroom floor, her hair a burnished coronet against the wooden boards, her hand stretched out, splayed. She's begging. I stand with a crop in hand. I want more. I always want more. But she can't take it. Red, red, red. No. There's a crash. The door flies open. His frame fills the doorway. He roars, and the blood-curdling sound fills the room. Fuck, no, no, no. He's here, he knows. Anna screams. Red, red, red. He hits me, a right hook to my chin. I fall, and fall. My head spins, I'm faint. No, stop the screaming. Red, 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 stop. It goes on and on, then it stops. I open my eyes and Hyde looms over her body, syringe in hand. He leers. Anna is still, pale, cold. I shake her. She doesn't move. Anna. She lies unresponsive in my arms. I shake her once more. Wake up. She's gone. 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 No. Kneeling on a sticky green rug, I clutch her to me and tip my head back and howl. Anna. 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 I'm startled awake, dragging air into my lungs. Anna. A quick twist of my head confirms that she's peacefully asleep beside me. Thank Christ. Clasping my head in my hands, I stare up at the ceiling. What the hell? Why am I letting that asshole into my psyche? He's in custody. We've got him. I take a long, calming breath as my thoughts wander. Baby bird, what the hell does that mean? From the depths of my brain, something stirs but vanishes instantly. My mind spins, trying to chase it through the shadows, but without success. I suspect it's from a part of my psyche that stores all the memories I try to forget. I shudder. Don't go there. I know I'm not going back to sleep anytime soon. With a sigh, I get up, grab my phone, and pad into the kitchen for a glass of water. Standing by the sink, I run my hand through my hair. Get it together, Gray. Tomorrow we could do something special. Take our minds off Hyde. Sailing? Soaring? New York? No, it's too far, and given that I've just been there, and all the shenanigans that have ensued since I returned, I don't think it's a good idea. Aspen. I could take her to Aspen. She's never seen the house. The press won't find us there. What's more, I could ask Elliot and Mia to join us. She said she wanted to see more of Kate. Yes. From my study, I send emails to Stefan, to Taylor, and to Mr. and Mrs. Bentley, the caretakers of our Aspen property, about a possible trip in the morning. Then I email Mia and Elliot. From Christian Gray to Elliot Gray, Mia G., chef extraordinaire, August 27th, 2011, 2:48. Aspen today. Mia, Elliot, as a surprise for Anna, I'm taking the jet to Aspen just for the night. Saturday 27th. Come with us. Kate and Ethan are welcome to join us. We'll be back Sunday evening. Let me know if you're up for it. Christian Gray, CEO. I press send, and a few seconds later, my phone buzzes. It's a text from Elliot. Sounds great, hotshot. He's awake. Why the hell is he up at this time? He normally sleeps like the dead. Can't sleep? No, you? I roll my eyes. Obviously. Oh, the Hyde shit? Yeah. My phone vibrates. Elliot is calling me. What the hell? Dude, it's late, I answer. I can't believe I'm doing this, he mutters. Doing what? Taking advice from someone who married the first girl they dated. But how did you know? How did I know what? That Anna was the one, he says. What? Why is he asking me this? How did I know? It was instant, I respond. What do you mean? I conjure an image of Anna falling into my office during that interview. It's a lifetime ago. When I met her, she looked at me with her big blue eyes, and I knew. She saw past all the bullshit. She saw me. It was terrifying. Yeah, I get that. Why are you asking me? Please don't tell me it's about Kavanaugh. It's Kate, man. Shit. He continues. I remember when I first saw her. I mean, she's hot. No arguments there. And then we were dancing in that bar in Portland, and I thought, you don't have to try so hard. You've got me, and what's more, it's only been her since then. I blow out a breath. This is not Elliot's usual M.O., he's the most promiscuous person I know. So what's the problem? I ask. I don't know. Is she the one? I don't know. We've never had this kind of conversation before. There have been so many women in Elliot's life. I don't know what to say. Well, as you know, she kept Anna out late last night, and whenever she's with Anna, Anna comes back drunk. I grumble. And she's a major pain in the ass, but I can't say that to him. Kate's a good time girl. Maybe that's it. I just don't know how she feels. Dude, I am not the person to ask for advice, believe me. You'll have to figure this out for yourself. I guess, he says. Aspen might be the place. Yes, I'll text her. She's not with you? No, but I want her to be. I'm just playing it cool. Whatever, dude. I'll send details of where to go in the morning. It is the morning, bro. True. This trip is a surprise for Anna. Tell Kate. I don't want her blowing it. Copy. Good night, Elliot. Dude. He hangs up. I stand staring at my phone, not quite believing the conversation we've just had. Elliot's never asked me for advice on his love life, ever. And as I suspected, he's really fallen for Kavanaugh. I don't get it. She's the most irritating woman on the planet. It's late, and I should head back to bed. But I'm drawn to the piano. Some music will quiet my mind. I lift the lid, sit down, and focus. The keys are cool and familiar beneath my fingers, and I start to play Chopin.
Melancholic music wraps around me like a soothing blanket, smothering my thoughts, the plaintive, somber notes a perfect match for my frame of mind. I play it once, twice, three times, losing myself in the melody and forgetting everything. It's just me and the music. While I'm playing the piece for a fourth time, Anna appears at the edge of my vision, dressed in her robe. I don't stop, but I shift to make room for her on the stool. She sits down beside me and lays her head on my shoulder. Kissing her hair, I continue to play. When I finish, I ask if I woke her.
Only because you were gone. What's that piece called?
It's Chopin. It's one of his preludes in E minor. It's called Suffocation. I almost smile at the irony. It's what she accuses me of doing to her. She takes my hand.
You're really shaken by all this, aren't you?
A deranged asshole gets into my apartment to kidnap my wife. She won't do as she's told. She drives me crazy. She safe words on me. I close my eyes. Yeah, I'm pretty shaken up. She squeezes my hand.
I'm sorry.
I press my forehead to hers, and I'm in the confessional, whispering my darkest fear. I dreamed you were dead, lying on the floor, so cold, and you wouldn't wake up. I swallow down the image that lingers from my nightmare.
Hey.
Anna's voice is soothing.
It was just a bad dream.
She holds my head, her hands on my cheeks.
I'm here, and I'm cold without you in bed. Come back to bed, please.
She stands, taking my hand, and after a heartbeat, I follow her. She slips out of her robe, and we both climb into bed. I hold her close.
Sleep,
she whispers, and kisses my hair, and I shut my eyes. It's the warmth I become aware of first, the warmth of her body and the scent of her hair. When I open my eyes, I am wrapped around my wife. I lift my head off her chest.
Good morning, Mr. Gray,
she says with a soft smile. Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Did you sleep well? I stretch out beside her, feeling remarkably fresh after such a disturbed night.
Once my husband stopped making that terrible racket on the piano, yes, I did.
Terrible racket. I'll be sure to email Miss Kathy and let her know. I grin back at her.
Miss Kathy?
My piano teacher? She giggles. That's a lovely sound.
Shall we have a better day today? Okay.
She agrees.
What do you want to do?
After I have made love to my wife and she's cooked me breakfast, I'd like to take her to Aspen. Anna looks dumbfounded.
Aspen?
Yes.
Aspen, Colorado?
The very same. Unless they've moved it. After all, you did pay $24,000 for the experience. She gives me her most superior smile.
That was your money.
Our money, I correct her.
It was your money when I made the bid.
She rolls her eyes. Oh, Mrs. Gray, you and your eye rolling. I run my hand up her thigh.
Won't it take hours to get to Colorado?
She asks. Not by jet, I mutter, as my hand cradles my favorite place. My plan has come together with surprising ease. I have a full crew and our guests are on board waiting for us. I'm excited to see Anna's reaction. As we pull up to the Gulf Stream, I squeeze her hand. I have a surprise for you. I kiss her knuckles.
Good surprise?
I hope so. She tilts her head, amused but curious, as Sawyer and Taylor simultaneously climb out of the car to open our doors. With Anna behind me, I greet Stefan at the top of the plane steps. Thanks for doing this on such short notice. I grin back at him. Our guests here?
Yes, sir.
Anna looks around to see Kate, Elliot, Mia, and Ethan all seated in the main cabin. She gapes at me. Surprise!
How? When? Who?
She says in a breathless rush. You said you didn't see enough of your friends. I shrug. So here we are, with your friends.
Oh, Christian, thank you.
She throws her arms around me, planting her lips firmly on mine. Whoa. I'm stunned by her unexpected ardor, but soon lost in her passion, taking all that she has to give. My hands find her hips, pulling her to me. Keep this up and I'll drag you into the bedroom, I whisper.
You wouldn't dare.
Her breath is soft and sweet against my lips.
Oh, Anastasia. Gauntlet thrown.
When will she learn that neither of us will back down from a challenge? Grinning, I stoop quickly, grab her thighs, and carefully hoist her over my shoulder.
Christian, put me down!
She smacks my behind as I wave a welcome to our guests and walk through the cabin. If you'll excuse me, I need to have a word with my wife in private. I think Mia, Kate, and Ethan are shocked. Elliot is cheering like the Mariners are about to score a home run. Huh, maybe I will.
Christian!
Anna shouts.
Put me down!
All in good time, baby. Carrying her into the rear cabin, I close the door and slide her down my body to set her on her feet. She looks less than impressed.
That was quite a show, Mr. Gray.
She crosses her arms, and I think she's pretending to be pissed. That was fun, Mrs. Gray.
Are you going to follow through?
There's a dare in her tone, but I'm not sure if she's serious. She glances at the bed and blushes. Perhaps she's remembering our wedding night. Her gaze returns to mine, and a slow smile spreads across her face until we're grinning at each other like idiots. I think that's exactly what she's remembering. I think it might be rude to keep our guests waiting, I murmur. Tempting though you are. I step toward her and run my nose down hers. Good surprise, I ask, because I need to know. She looks delighted.
Oh, Christian, fantastic surprise.
She kisses me once more.
When did you organize this?
Her fingers linger in my hair. Last night when I couldn't sleep, I emailed Elliot and Mia, and here they are.
It's very thoughtful. Thank you. I'm sure we'll have a great time.
I hope so. I thought it would be easier to avoid the press in Aspen than at home. Come, we'd better take our seats. Stefan will be taking off shortly. I offer her my hand, and together we go back into the main cabin. Elliot cheers when we enter.
That sure was speedy in-flight service.
Dude, calm the hell down. I ignore him and nod greetings at Mia and Ethan as Stefan announces our imminent takeoff. Taylor has taken a seat at the rear.
Good morning, Mr. Gray, Mrs. Gray,
says Natalia, our flight attendant. Returning her welcoming smile, I sit down opposite Elliot. Anna hugs Kate before sitting down beside me. I ask if she's packed her hiking boots.
We're not going skiing?
That would be a challenge in August. She rolls her eyes, and I wonder if she was being sarcastic.
Do you ski, Anna?
Elliot asks her.
No.
The thought of Anna on skis as a beginner is troubling. I grasp her hand.
I'm sure my little brother can teach you.
Elliot winks at her.
He's pretty fast on the slopes, too.
I ignore him and watch Natalia run through the safety procedures as our plane taxis to the runway.
You okay?
I overhear Kate ask Anna.
I mean, following the hide business?
Anna nods.
So why did he go postal?
She asks. I fired his ass. I intervene, hoping that will shut her up.
Oh, why?
Kate looks intently at both of us. Damn, more questions.
He made a pass at me,
Anna says tightly.
When?
Kate's eyes are on stalks. She's shocked.
Ages ago. You never told me he made a pass at you.
Anna shrugs.
It can't just be a grudge about that, surely,
Kate says.
I mean, his reaction is way too extreme.
She turns her attention to me.
Is he mentally unstable? What about all the information he has on you Grays?
She really doesn't let up. I sigh.
We think there's a connection with Detroit.
Hyde is from Detroit, too?
I nod. How the hell does she know all this stuff? Anna grips my hand as the plane accelerates. My fearless girl is not a fan of takeoffs and landings. I brush my thumb across her knuckles. We're okay, baby.
What do you know about him?
Elliot is serious for once, and I have no choice but to reveal what I know. I shoot Kate a warning look. This is off the record, I tell her, and rattle off what I remember from his background check. We know a little about him. His dad died in a brawl in a bar. His mother drank herself into oblivion. He was in and out of foster homes as a kid. In and out of trouble, too. Mainly boosting cars. Spent time in juvie. His mom got back on track through some outreach program, and Hyde turned himself around. Won a scholarship to Princeton.
Princeton?
Kate squeaks, surprised. Yep, he's a bright boy. I shrug.
Not that bright, he got caught.
Elliot observes wryly.
But surely he can't have pulled this stunt alone,
Kate asks. Christ, she's irritating. This is none of her damned business. We don't know yet, I growl, trying to keep a rein on my temper. Anna looks up at me in alarm. I squeeze her hand to reassure her as we sail into the air. She leans into me.
How old is he?
She whispers, so neither Kate or Elliot hear us. 32. Why?
Curious, that's all.
Don't be curious about Hyde. I'm just glad the fucker's locked up.
Do you think he's working with someone?
She sounds anxious. I don't know.
Maybe someone who has a grudge against you, like Elena?
For fuck's sake, Anna. I check that Kate and Elliot aren't listening, but they're deep in their own conversation. You do like to demonize her, don't you? I mutter. She may hold a grudge, but she wouldn't do this kind of thing. Let's not discuss her. I know she's not your favorite topic of conversation.
Have you confronted her?
Anna, I haven't spoken to her since my birthday party. Well, I haven't spoken to her in person. Please drop it. I don't want to talk about her. I kiss her knuckles.
Get a room.
Elliot interrupts my thoughts.
Oh, right. You already have, but you didn't need it for long.
Fuck off, Elliot.
Dude, just telling you how it is.
Elliot looks so pleased with himself.
Like you'd know, I retort. You married your first girlfriend.
Elliot gestures to Anna.
Can you blame me?
I kiss Anna's hand again and give her a smile.
No.
Elliot laughs and shakes his head. Kate slaps Elliot's thigh.
Stop being an ass.
Listen to your girlfriend.
Maybe Kavanaugh can keep him in line. She scowls at Elliot while Stefan announces our altitude and flight time and tells us we're free to move around the cabin. Natalia appears from the galley.
May I offer anyone coffee?
When the Gulfstream pulls to a stop at Aspen-Pitkin Airport, Taylor is off the plane first.
Good landing.
I shake Stefan's hand as the rest of our guests prepare to disembark.
It's all about the density altitude, sir. Bailey here is good at math.
You nailed it, Bailey. Smooth landing.
Thank you, sir.
Her grin is rightly smug.
Enjoy your weekend, Mr. Gray. Mrs. Gray, we'll see you tomorrow.
Stefan steps aside to let us deplane, and we descend the aircraft steps to where Taylor is waiting with our ride.
Minivan?
I raise a brow. With an apologetic smile, he slides open the door.
Last minute, I know.
I offer. I turn to Anna. Want to make out in the back of the van? She giggles.
Come on, you two, get in.
Mia nags from behind us. We climb on board, scrambling to the back seat where we sit down. I put my arm around Anna as she cuddles into me. Comfortable?
Yes.
Anna smiles and I kiss her forehead, delighted that we're here together. I've been on trips like this before, with my parents to their place in Montana, and with Mia and Elliot when they've included their friends. But I've always gone solo. This is another first. As a teenager, I didn't have friends, And as an adult, I've been too busy and too solitary to enjoy this kind of outing, and I still don't have many friends. Once Elliot and Taylor have loaded the luggage, we set off toward town. As I enjoy the scenery, my thoughts drift to our house on Red Mountain. I wonder if Anna will like it. I hope so. I love it here. Aspen in late summer is as green as Seattle, more so at this time of year. It's what I love about the place. The grass in the pastures is lush and tall, and the mountains are smothered in forests in full leaf. Today, the sun is high in the sky, though there are dark clouds on the horizon toward the west. I hope that's not an omen. Ethan turns in his seat to face us.
Have you been to Aspen before, Anna?
No, first time. You?
Kate and I used to come here a lot when we were teens. Dad's a keen skier, Mom less so.
I'm hoping my husband will teach me how to ski.
She peers at me. Don't bet on it, I mutter.
I won't be that bad.
You might break your neck. A shiver runs down my spine.
How long have you had this place?
She asks. Nearly 2 years. It's yours now too, Mrs. Gray.
I know,
she whispers, and kisses my jaw before settling into my side once more. Ethan asks me which are my favorite slopes, and I run through them. I'm not as fearless as Elliot, though. He could ski downhill, backward, with his eyes closed, anywhere.
I can ski, too.
Mia pipes up, glaring at Ethan. He smiles indulgently at her, and I wonder how her campaign to capture his heart, or his dick, is going. He says she's not his type, but the way she's making eyes at him, he's definitely hers.
Why did you choose Aspen?
Anna asks me as we cruise down Main Street. What?
To buy a place.
Mom and Dad used to bring us here when we were kids. I learned to ski here, and I like the place. I hope you do too. Otherwise, we'll sell the house and choose somewhere else. I tuck a loose strand of her hair behind her ear. You look lovely today. She blushes prettily, and I cannot resist kissing her. The traffic is fairly light, and Taylor reaches the center of town in good time. He turns north on Mill Street, and we cross the roaring Fork River and head up on Red Mountain. Taylor steers around the bend at the ridge, and I inhale sharply.
What's wrong?
Anna asks. I hope you like it. I answer. We're here. Taylor parks in the driveway, and Anna turns to look at the house while our guests pile out of the van. When she turns back to me, her eyes are luminous with excitement. Home, I mouth.
Looks good.
Come, see. I grab her hand, anxious to show her around. Mia has dashed ahead into the arms of Carmela Bentley.
Who's that?
Anna asks of the slight figure in the doorway who's welcoming our guests. Mrs. Bentley. She lives here with her husband. They look after the place. Mia introduces Ethan and Kate to Mrs. Bentley, while Elliot gives her a hug.
Welcome back, Mr. Gray.
Carmela smiles. Carmela, this is my wife, Anastasia.
Mrs. Gray.
Anna beams at her as they shake hands.
I hope you've had a pleasant flight. The weather is supposed to be fine all weekend, though I'm not sure.
She eyes the darkening gray clouds behind us.
Lunch is ready whenever you want,
she says with a warm welcome. I think she approves of my wife. Here. I grab Anna and swing her into my arms.
What are you doing?
She squeals. Carrying you over yet another threshold. Everyone stands aside as I carry my wife into the wide hallway where I give her a swift kiss and set her onto the hardwood floor. Behind us, Mia grabs Ethan's hand and drags him toward the stairs. Where the hell is she going? Kate whistles loudly.
Nice place.
Tour? I ask Anna.
Sure.
She offers me a brief smile. I take her hand, excited to show her around and guide her through a whistle-stop tour of her vacation home. Kitchen, sitting room, dining area, nook. Downstairs den, complete with bar and billiard table. Anna blushes at the sight of it. Fancy a game? I ask with a husky timbre to my voice. I thoroughly enjoyed the last game we played. She shakes her head. Through there is a home office and Mr. and Mrs. Bentley's rooms. She nods, distracted. Maybe she doesn't like the place. I find the thought depressing. Feeling a little deflated, I take her up to the second floor, where there are four guest bedrooms and the master suite. The view from the picture window in the master bedroom is stunning, and the reason I bought the house. Anna wanders in and stares out at the scenery. That's Ajax Mountain, or Aspen Mountain, if you like, I inform her from the doorway. She nods. You're very quiet. My voice is tentative.
It's lovely, Christian.
Her gaze is wide-eyed and wary. Striding over to her, I tug her chin, freeing her lip from her teeth. What is it? I ask, searching her eyes for a clue.
You're very rich.
Is that all? I temper my relief. Yes. I'm reminded of how quiet she was when I first took her to Escala. That's where I've seen her like this before.
Sometimes it just takes me by surprise how wealthy you are.
We are, I remind her yet again.
We are,
she breathes, her eyes widening further. Don't stress about this, Anna, please. It's just a house.
And what did Gia do here exactly?
Gia?
Yes, she remodeled this place?
Anna asks. She did. She designed the den downstairs. Elliot did the build. I rake my hand through my hair, wondering where she is going with this. Why are we talking about Gia?
Did you know she had a fling with Elliot?
I pause for a second, wondering what I should tell her. She knows nothing of Elliot's dissolute habits. I sigh. Elliot's fucked most of Seattle, Anna. She gasps. Mainly women, I understand. I shrug and hide my amusement at her shocked expression.
No!
It's none of my business. I hold up my palms. I don't really want to discuss this.
I don't think Kate knows.
Anna squeaks, appalled. I'm not sure he broadcasts that information. Kate seems to be holding her own. He's discreet, so that's a plus. Her eyes are on mine, and I'm trying to work out what she's thinking. This can't just be about Gia's or Elliot's promiscuity. I whisper.
I know, I'm sorry. After all that's happened this week, it's just...
She lifts her shoulder as tears well in her eyes. No, Anna, don't cry. I fold her into my embrace. I know. I murmur into her hair. I'm sorry, too. Let's relax and enjoy ourselves, okay? You can stay here and read, watch god-awful TV, shop, go hiking, fishing even, whatever you want to do. And forget what I said about Elliot. That was indiscreet of me.
Goes some way to explain why he's always teasing you,
she says, her cheek against my chest. He really has no idea about my past. I told you my family assumed I was gay. Celibate, but gay. She giggles.
I thought you were celibate. How wrong I was.
She draws me closer, and I sense her smile.
Mrs. Gray, are you smirking at me? Maybe a little. You know what I don't understand is why you have this place.
What do you mean? I kiss her hair.
You have the boat, which I get. You have the place in New York for business. But why here? It's not like you shared it with anyone.
I was waiting for you.
That's such a lovely thing to say.
She whispers, bright blue eyes meet mine. It's true. I didn't know it at the time.
I'm glad you waited.
You are worth waiting for, Mrs. Gray. I run my finger beneath her jaw, tip her lips toward mine, and kiss her.
So are you.
She smiles.
Though I feel like I cheated. I didn't have to wait long for you at all.
I grin in disbelief. Am I that much of a prize?
Christian, you are the state lottery, the cure for cancer, and the three wishes from Aladdin's lamp, all rolled into one.
What? Even after yesterday? I still trying to wrap my head around her compliment.
When will you realize this?
She semi-scowls at me.
You were a very eligible bachelor, and I don't mean all this.
She waves an arm at the view.
I mean in here.
She rests her hand on my heart while I flounder for something to say.
Believe me, Christian, please.
Holding my face, she brings my lips to hers, and we're soon lost in a healing, searing kiss, her tongue sparring with mine. I want to christen the bed, but we can't, not yet. I pull away, my eyes burning into hers, knowing how strong she is and how much she could wound me if she chose to, by leaving. Don't go there, Gray.
When are you going to get it through your exceptionally thick skull that I love you?
I swallow. One day. Her smile is heartwarming, lighting me up on the inside. Come. I'm uncomfortable with our conversation. Let's have some lunch. The others will be wondering where we are. We can discuss what we all want to do. During the impressive meal that Mrs. Bentley has laid out for us, we discuss